Yeah. Hi, everybody. Thanks for invitation to talk today. I'm going to share kind of part of our vision for the future of soil survey. I have another invited talk tomorrow morning to kind of share a more comprehensive vision. So today, I'm going to kind of talk about our idea that, and I think all of you share this idea, that promoting soil survey is the key to sustaining soil survey in the future. And so what I thought I'd talk about in this talk is just what we've done so far to promote soil survey based on our extension. You know, what I realized is we've done a lot. My lab has done a lot to try to promote the use of soil survey, but I've done a terrible job of advertising it myself. A lot of people, I get emails just about every day saying, you know, why is my iPhone app not working if I have an Android phone? And what I haven't told a lot of people is that we've migrated our app onto new platforms. And that's kind of what this slide is showing. We still have the iPhone app, and a lot of people are still using the iPhone app. But we've moved forward. We've created Soil Web, which is now kind of an interactive map. It's a website, and that's shown up in the right-hand corner there, where it shows the data display a little bit more integrated with the map. And so I've done kind of a bad job of promoting or advertising these changes. So that's part of the reason I'm talking today, is just to kind of give you an update of what we've done and where we're going in the future. These are some of the apps that we just completed. Some of them are a little older than others, but some, I think Sam might have highlighted some of them. We have Soil Web, Soil Web Earth, C, the Series Extend Explorer, Soil Properties app, Soil Data Explorer, and a new app, which is a decision support tool called SAGB, Soil Agricultural Groundwater Banking Index. So I'm going to talk about a few of these just to kind of give you an idea of what we have going. How many have used C, Series Extent Explorer? Okay, how many people knew about it? See, again, I've done a horrible job. So I got to get on, maybe someone can give me some lessons on how to advertise. But this is one of our newer products, and the Soil Series Extent Explorer is a really simple tool. You simply type in a series name, and it maps the approximate distribution of that soil series across the United States. And it actually reports the more exact distribution of those soils, the acreage of those soils, in the box below the name. Let's hold to the end, please. Thanks. what we're trying to also do is to integrate the apps with other tools so that people can kind of get a feeling for the mapping concepts. And so if you see cold series, below it, it says a link to the Soil Data Explorer. And this is another new app that we just finished, which essentially allows people to try to understand or get a feeling for the variability and soil properties of each series. Across the top, you'll see the OSD, that's the link to the official series description, lab data, which shows all the available data that we were able to harvest from the national KSSL lab, to show the median and then the spread of the data with depth. You can click on the other tab, which looks at, what was that? I think that was the series associations, where you're able to kind of view how that series is related to other series, both taxonomically, and how the properties might vary with depth. And then there's a link to the block diagram to try to communicate. That's one of the biggest flaws that I've noticed in Soil Web, is that it really lost our ability to connect the soils with our conceptual model. And so linking to these block diagrams helps reaffirm that conceptual model of how map units and series are related across the landscape. And then if you click on that map units tab, it shows you all the different, gives you a link to all the different map units that series is mapped in. And so way to kind of hot link and move across a soil survey report, a lot like you might have done in the past with a hard copy, hopefully a little bit more convenient. So another really important, I feel, important vision for the future in terms of promoting soil survey is being very nimble enough to adapt and show a product from Soil Survey that is relevant to society. And one of the things, and I don't want to brag here when I say this, but this has just been a huge success, and I don't really understand, well, I kind of understand why. But we developed this decision support tool called the Agricultural Groundwater Banking Index. And we started about a year ago, and we were in the third year of drought, fourth year of drought in California, and all of a sudden El Nino is coming. And so all over the news, they're scaring people about these catastrophic floods coming in California. Well, that happened right at the time that we finished this app. And this app is really just providing a tool to stakeholders to be able to understand where might we divert managed flood flows onto agricultural soils to recharge groundwater. And this just was like a firecracker. NPR, TV interviews, Scientific American, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to say, wow, the timing of a topic is so critical to promoting the utility of Soil Survey. And it was kind of luck. I didn't really plan it. Maybe subconsciously I planned it. But I just want to show you what we did. The key question was, which soils work best? Which soils are most permeable? But we also had to consider the matching or the pairing of soils with cropping systems, right? So our permanent crops, they're susceptible to prolonged saturation. And so we needed to identify that pairing of which soils drain freely and what crops might be most susceptible to more slowly draining soils. So we had to consider not only how permeable the soil is, but what was the root zone residence time of near saturated conditions. We also had to think of some other characteristics. We considered a deep percolation factor, which was essentially the Ksat of the lowest Ksat in the horizon. We wanted to consider that root zone residence time, which was really a kind of an index of how poorly drained that root zone might be. And we developed that by creating the harmonic mean of the soil profile of Ksat, harmonic mean of Ksat for the soil profile. And we consider topographic limitations. It's hard to divert water over sloping ground, but we just used slope classes from Soil Survey, didn't use a DEM. We considered chemical limitations. In California, salty soils can be a problem. If we flush those salts down in the groundwater, then we have recharged the groundwater, but we've also contaminated that groundwater potentially with salt. So we considered that too. And then we also considered the surface condition, how erodible that soil might be, or how subjective, how it might be subjected to compaction, hydrocompaction. And we essentially just rated these factors using fuzzy logic curves, more is better, less is better, optimum, less is better functions. There's a paper on this in the CalAg journal in the July issue that explains how we did that. What we then did is we created an interactive map, an app for this decision support tool. And this is an image of that app. We also, it works a lot like all our apps. You can enter a location, it'll zoom in, you can zoom out, you can use the map tools to find an area of interest. We have two considered things that we did in this app that's kind of unique in that a lot of our soil survey areas are a little bit out of date in that we have a lot of soils with hard pans, cemented layers, durapans, and clay pans that have been altered by deep tillage. And those soils primarily are soils that have tree crops on them. So what we were able to do is update the soil survey in areas where we had tree crops by mapping those tree crops and then mapping soils with restrictive horizons. And then we assume that those soils that have that combination are then altered and modified or homogenated, and then we created a new, essentially, permeability for those soils. So we have in this app a as-mapped condition and then a modified condition, assuming that all these soils were altered by deep tillage, which would give rise to a higher score. And so this is our rating index. It goes from excellent to very poor. We found that about 5.5 million acres of land were suitable for agricultural groundwater banking. If you consider deep tillage, actual amount of deep tillage that has occurred, that increased it to 5.5 million acres that is suitable for recharge. And what we haven't really done is validated this map. It's very possible that the poor or moderately poor sites could be perfectly suited for this practice. We just haven't been able to validate it yet, but we're in that process right now. And the idea is that users can click on this map and that there's some transparency to the map. You can see if I clicked on one of those soils, it was rated as poor. I think it's a Cajon, my eyes are going. But you can see that it shows a depiction of the different factors, the different score, the rating classes for each factor. So there's a little bit of transparency to the model so that users can really dive down and figure out what the limiting factor is. We report that score in terms of being unmodified as mapped or modified via deep tillage. The other thing, I think these decision support tools are really important, and this is going to be a future of my program for sure, and we have a lot of support tools that we're thinking about now, so stay tuned. This is certainly something that we're going to go after. Another project that we're working on, and I'm not sure convinced yet of its impact, but I think it's kind of an interesting little project. Is that we're trying to create an interactive data repository for soil climate information. And this is done by mainly the leadership in the Region 2 MO. But what we're doing is trying to create this interface in Google Maps where users can either find existing soil climate sensor networks or upload their soil sensor climate data. We'll do some QAQC, automated QAQC to that data. And then we're creating automated scripts so that people can click on view data, either download that information, or they can see how that we can automatically generate various graphs showing how that climate, soil climate looks over defined time periods. This is actually an interactive graph. You can do certain functions to smooth the data to either daily, monthly, weekly averages, or you can easily change the time window that you're interested in, mean summer temperatures, mean winter temperatures, things like that. So this product will be finished in September. Hopefully it'll be of interest to you folks. So, you know, just to conclude, I think that, and from my opinion as an extension specialist, this is really going to be a strong effort for my program is focusing on promoting soil survey in innovative ways. And I already see from younger folks that are presenting information that we have a bright future ahead of us in terms of creatively visualizing soil survey information. And so I think we got a lot to go, a lot of positive energy ahead of us. So happy to take any questions if you have any.
Summer, we are losing the ability to map soils. There's a disconnect in not remapping the counties. And the training mechanism is to have the federal government train soil scientists remapping these counties. And you're losing the opportunity for a training situation. The only way you're going to train is in the field. You don't get it from learning. And you're just losing that talent. Soon, you're not going to be able to find a soil scientist to be able to map soils in the future. That is a big, big concern of me, and it should be a big concern of all the other soil scientists.
Maybe so. I don't know. I know at UC Davis, we do work very hard. We have a class that 3 weeks that we spend out in the field learning these tools, so I can't comment. We also host Soil Geomorphology Institute occasionally, so I think there are training opportunities. We could obviously always do more.
There's also soil judging. I know I'm a part of that. A lot of undergraduates partake in that.
It's a good starting point.
I guess what I would say is the days of grunt mapping are done. I really believe that, but the days of teaching soil landscape relationships
are emerging.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you see this a lot of what I saw in the talk today. There's a lot of convergence around that concept. The more we depict information at these scales, the more we realize, oh boy, we got to communicate this in a clearer way. We have to make sure that the maps we're portraying, we have to understand their sensitivity, their uncertainty. That's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, so I could only give you a quick view of that today.
So I was kind of fascinated with the idea that you had some new information that was linked to land use that led you to alter the permeability attributes for a particular soil series. And so if someone was using your application, they would see a particular value for that permeability rating. But if somebody was using the Webb Soil Survey for that same soil series, they might see a different value for the same property because it may or may not have been updated based on your work.
They'd see both.
Do you see this as a...
They would see, well...
Something resolved in some way where...
We report both. The as mapped and as modified.
Okay.
So that it's transparent. And try to document the idea that soils have been modified and the soil surveys in those areas, some of those are out of date. So the idea is to show both data sets side by side. But in terms of out of date, we do try to update that information every fall.
And you would transmit that information to NRCS?
No. They transmit it to us. But what I did find, once we finished it, Sue Southard, who is an NRCS employee, is developing an internal groundwater banking index for NRCS, and we're working with her to try to map it so that we don't give contrasting information. But I'm not sure if she's going to incorporate the deep tillage idea.